Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Can't get over how close it is in the US. We're going live to Washington, D.C. next, where, as you've been hearing throughout the programme, yesterday's midterm elections failed to produce the so-called red wave that was predicted to hand Republicans decisive control of both houses of Congress. Mick Mulvaney was a Republican congressman before he joined the Trump administration, eventually serving as President Trump's acting chief of staff and Northern Ireland envoy, as you know. He joins me, as does Jimmy Ryan, who's a Democrat strategist who spent 15 years in the US Senate working as chief counsel for Democratic Whip Senator Harry Reid and for Senator Chuck Schumer as well. You're both very welcome to the programme. I may start with you, Mick Mulvaney. Where did it all go wrong for Republicans?
Well, it looks like it all went wrong with Donald Trump. He seems to be the one taking most of the blame today, probably accurately so. The Republicans dramatically underperformed last night with independent voters. And while there certainly could be issues in local states that we're not all familiar with, there certainly could be issues with abortion, for example, in certain states. A couple states had abortion on the referendum last night. The one national constant was Trump. And wherever he seemed to get involved heavily in races, he seemed to lose last night. The exception, one exception would be a Republican Senate race in Ohio.
It's very interesting, Mick, that you say that about Donald Trump. Let's have a listen. I'm sure you've heard this clip. Let's have a listen to presidents.
Let's have a listen to presidents. Yes.
For the benefit of our listeners, and let's have a listen to President Trump. He was speaking last night to Fox News before the results were known about how much the result would reflect on him as he endorsed over 300 Republican candidates.
Well, I think if they win, I should get all the credit. And if they lose, I should not be blamed at all. Okay. But it'll probably be just the opposite.
There you go. He predicted exactly what you said, Mick.
I'm not sure what he predicted, but yeah, that's pretty Trump. That's pretty par for the course. That's not what you're hearing today. When I talk to my former colleagues today, privately still, I think eventually publicly, they're saying that he is really, really hard to carry on their shoulders in many of these races, that the independent voters simply have rejected Trump, and it's becoming more and more difficult to sort of associate with him in sort of federal office. Trump had a lot of endorsements. He endorsed about 300 people, probably 290 of them won, but the 10 that lost were absolutely critical to control of both the governor's offices and the Senate. So it was a rough night for Donald Trump. There's a lot of probably a lot of yelling and screaming and maybe a little bit of second guessing out of Mar-a-Lago this morning.
Yeah, stay with me, Mick. Let's bring in our Democrat friend, Jimmy Ryan. Is that how you read it as well, Jimmy?
Yeah, I agree with what Mick was saying. I actually think, if anything, the biggest winner last night, though, was a Republican. It was Ron DeSantis in Florida, who carried the state by an overwhelming margin, and by all accounts, you know, is the chief, probably the top, you know, Republican opponent to Trump in any presidential primary. So from the standpoint of winners and losers, DeSantis may have won. I think the real question is the one Mick raised, which is if Republicans have a chance now, and they've had two opportunities already to take out Trump, you know, will they act on it? And that's, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's the biggest question. And it obviously, however it gets answered, also influences whether or not Joe Biden runs for re-election and who he runs against.
Well, I was going to leave that conversation till the end, but let's go there now, since you brought it up, Jimmy. Is that the huge dilemma facing the Republicans at the moment? Because it's obvious, it's tantalizing as well for the media to pit in the primaries Trump against DeSantis. Will there be private conversations now had among Republicans saying, how do we get rid of this guy?
So I deferred it. Mick on that, because he's a Republican and
that was directed at Mick.
Handled.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was to Jimmy. Those conversations don't take place because if you tried to take him out, you couldn't. That's not how the system works. You wouldn't say, well, let's all go together and go down to Mar-a-Lago and ask him not to run. That's not how it's going to happen. If Donald Trump decides not to run, it's going to be because he's decided that he can't win. He had a really rough last night. Jimmy's correct. The big winner was Ron DeSantis. Again, in talking to my former colleagues, Those who had to run in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Arizona were just loathing being on the ticket last night with Trump, whereas those in Florida were telling me what a joy it is to be on the same ticket with Ron DeSantis. He probably did better with independents by about a 3-1 margin versus an even margin for the other candidates nationwide. So he was the top of the ticket. He delivered in Florida what the rest of the party thought we would deliver nationwide last night. So if there was one bright, shining moment, it was Florida last night, thanks in large part to Ron DeSantis. So, but no, you don't just sort of call Donald Trump on the phone and ask him not to run for president and have him listen to you. So he's going to have to make that decision himself.
And it's so finely balanced now. So the last number of results coming in for the Senate, Mick, would they likely tilt Trump's judgment in any way? Or in the past, we've seen him change or reinterpret or reimagine results that haven't gone his way in some kind of a favorable way for the Trump camp. I mean, is he likely to do that?
You know, it's very interesting. You're not hearing that today. Even with some of the states being extraordinarily slow, I mean, there's some races in California that only 25% of the votes have been counted here 12 hours later. So a lot of the states have been very, very slow, but you're not hearing a lot of that, you know, election conspiracy theory. You may hear it from some of the fringe people, but the mainstream of the party is not worrying about that. No, it comes back to, again, Trump is going to be all about Trump. And if he thinks he can win, he will run. That being said, if there are level heads in Mar-a-Lago, they should be sitting down with him this morning saying, look, boss, here's the difficulty. We may not have a pathway to win. We can win a Republican primary, but last night says we got a real, real problem running a general election. You need to think about this before you announce, because you could lose and you don't like losing.
Can I ask you, Jimmy, about the Biden agenda now? What happens from here on in to Joe Biden's bill of work that he wants to get through?
Well, I think he's got to make a decision if he's going to run again. And it sounds right now like they're assuming that they have been assuming up until the election last night that the president would be running against Donald Trump. I don't know if that's if that would be the standing assumption that they have today. But that's really the threshold question, because I think there's a lot of speculation, at least amongst Democrats, that if Donald Trump doesn't run, that, you know, President Biden may feel like he wants to do other things. He'll be 80 years old, so it's not terribly surprising. But there's, an open field of people who I'm sure would jump in rather quickly. And I'm talking about Democratic governors and Democratic senators who've got aspirations of their own to run for president.
Yeah, but it's one thing to be a governor or a senator. It's another thing altogether to have the charisma and the profile and the energy and the class and the advocacy skills to be president and a successful presidential candidate. I mean, do they have a ready-made candidate on the Democrat side?
No, there's no ready-made candidate. You can look at certain people, Governor Newsom in California, huge state, young guy, has a lot of charisma. You can see people who would fit the mold of being, presidential aspirants. But, surviving that primary, whether it's a Democratic or Republican primary, just surviving it and winning it, it's a whole other issue. And that's, I think, for now, the presumption is he can run for re-election if he wants to. And it sounds like he's, by all measures, has indicated that he wants to run again. And if that's the case, just the power of the presidency makes it much, much harder for somebody, somebody else from the Democratic Party mm-hmm. to step in and take him on.
Can I ask you both, and brief answers to a huge question, if I may. This line about campaigning in poetry and governing in prose, and what the Democrats put forward here as a proposition to the American people, that you were fighting for the democracy, the fundamental democratic system of America here. Was that hamming it up a little bit? I'll go to you, Jimmy, on that. Or was that for real?
No, I think it's for real. I think I believe Democrats believe it. And I actually think last night can fairly be described as a big win for democracy. And I say that assuming that the House of Representatives will flip and go under Republican control. And divided government back here is a good thing. It means people are battling over ideas. They're battling over policies. They're battling over beliefs. And for America, and I think for the world, that's a good thing. And, you know, I don't doubt Democrats feel like they weren't making any political movement with the, you know, vote Democrat and support democracy argument that was a big part of their platform. But I think if you look at the results, you can fairly say it was a victory for democracy last night.
Make briefly.
And I'd also just point out that people aren't, you know, there aren't pro, you're not hearing a lot of talk about the elections being rigged, outcomes being bad. I think, you know, we're just having a normal election night so far, if you can call it that, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Make.
Yeah, real quickly, when an airplane crashes, about 15 things have to go wrong at one time. It's usually not one thing. The Republican plane crashed last night. There's probably a lot of contributing factors to that. Certainly, there were some folks interested in the so-called security of democracy. There are some folks interested in abortion. There's a lot of folks interested in Donald Trump. So I don't. It'll be a while before I think we sort of have the theme for why what happened last night happened. But Jimmy's right. It was an ordinary election so far in terms of there's nobody rioting in the streets. We do divided government better than we do one party government anyway. So maybe we're headed in the right direction.
Look, it is an exciting election. Great to talk to you both. Mick Mulvaney, Jimmy Ryan. Thank you both.